Sabbath blessing to all the dear family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this Sabbath, May 17, 2025. This is our review of our chapter 85 entitled By the Sea Once More, part 5 of our lesson 434. I hope and pray, dear ones, that you all can see the presentation in the room. And we are going to hand it back to our dear brother so he can share with us the Tiny Tot song, hymn number 627, entitled, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing to Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Yours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask one of the little tiny tots if they would like to be able to open with prayer on the review section. May you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people who's in the Sabbath, the people who's not in the Sabbath. Please protect everybody that I know. And while they are joining the Sabbath right now, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. This is the area where we're going to ask the parents or any members of the family to share the blessing the little one has been to their mommy, their daddy, or any area in their life. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For mommies and daddies, all the blessings. I'd like to continue to highlight Haley and Emma for their willingness to continue to be little helping hands to those that are around them, not just in the home setting, but in any setting that they are in. And they're letting their lights shine by being helpers. I was just at their school, an event, and they were cleaning up. The event had finished and they were cleaning up and I'm ready to go, but there I see them over across from me helping to clean up the things that were remaining on the floor. And so that was a pleasant to see. So I praise the Lord for them and pray that they will continue to be helping hands in every situation that the Lord allows them to be in, by God's grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other remnant family that would like to share? We are going to move on. And remember, little ones, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So it's story times, little one. Let's have a listening ears. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us more with the story of Jesus, chapter 25, in Joseph 2.
There. All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John, chapter 19. And verse 38 says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight." That's 50 kilos, or almost. "Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in a linen cloth, or linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." Treason against the Roman government was the crime for which the Savior was condemned. Persons put to death for this cause were buried in a place set apart for such criminals. John shuddered as he thought of having the body of his beloved master handled by the unfeeling soldiers and buried in a dishonorable grave. But he saw no way to prevent it, as he had no influence with Pilate. At this trying time, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea came to the help of the disciples. Both of these men were members of the Sanhedrin, or the Supreme Court, and were acquainted with Pilate. Both were men of wealth and influence. They were determined that the Savior's body should have an honorable burial. Joseph went boldly to Pilate and begged from him the body of Jesus. Pilate, after learning that Christ was already dead, granted the request. He probably thought, well, guess my guys don't have to do it. While Joseph was gone to Pilate for the Savior's body, Nicodemus was making ready for the burial. It was the custom in those times to wrap the bodies of the dead in linen cloths with precious ointments and sweet spices. This was one method of embalming. So Nicodemus brought a costly gift of 100 pounds weight of myrrh and aloes for the body of Jesus. This is taken from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 149. Gracias.
Amen. Next Sabbath, we will be continuing part two of our new chapter of our lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb in our tiny tot lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place May the 24th, 2025. I will hand back our dear brother to review.
Okay, in review. What was the crime for which the Savior was condemned?
The answer to number one is treason against the Roman government.
Yes. Do you know what treason is? It's doing something to hurt your government, like trying to take it over or letting the enemies get in through the side gate. That would be treason. At this trying time, who came to help the disciples?
The answer to number two is Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea.
Arimathea.
Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus' uncle, according to archaeologists and researchers. While Joseph was gone to Pilate for Jesus' body, what did Nicodemus do?
The answer to number three is Nicodemus is making ready for the
burial.
Burial, yes. Getting him ready so that he could be put in the sepulcher. That's another word we don't pronounce correctly most of the time. Bonus question. What were the costly gifts Nicodemus brought for the Savior's body?
The answer to the bonus question is 100 pounds, a pound's weight of myrrh and aloes.
Yes, those were like embalming materials that they put on the outside of the body. Nowadays, they cut a little slit here in the side of your throat and inject formaldehyde. And but they didn't do that at his time. They just wrapped him up with myrrh and aloes and put him in the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, dear brother. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. It's time for Tiny Talks and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. We are still in our topic, Mamas of the Bible. This is our review. So let's have a listening ear, dear one, for our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
God bless you, everyone. Here's the review of last week's lesson. So we've seen through the spiritual insight before. Is the spiritual insight or lesson six, the life cycle of a horse. And the memory verse is Romans 7:4. It says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And the character quality of the story is industry versus thoughtfulness. Industry is the habit of working hard and steadily with thoughts and deeds directed by heaven. A Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book Family Bible Lesson, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 6, The Sower, the Seed, and the Soil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 8 to 9 says, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, 23 says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit, and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Good ground. Father fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Matthew 13:8. The sower is not always to meet with disappointment. For the seed that fell into good ground, the Savior said, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit, bringing forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Christ hath blessed us that they should be. The good ground here receives the word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Only he who receives the scriptures is the voice of God speaking to himself is a true learner. He trembles at the word, for to him is a living reality. He opens his understanding and his heart to receive it. Such hearers were Cornelius and his friends, who said to the apostle Peter, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Acts 10:33. A knowledge of the truth depends not so much upon strength of intellect as upon pureness of purpose, the simplicity of an earnest, dependent faith. To those who in humility of heart seek for divine guidance, angels of God draw near. The Holy Spirit is given to open to them the rich treasures of the truth. Christ Object Lessons, page 59. In good ground, roots can go very deep. Love is the root of obedience. The deeper our love, the more steadfast our obedience. God wants us to be industrious in sowing seeds of truth in our hearts. How? By studying and praying and doing. Well, and on our right, we see pictures of the kinds of grain that was probably planted by the sower. Barley, wheat, and oats. Are you planting seeds of truth in your heart each day? Pray that you are. And from the life cycle of the horse, there's, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23. In these two pictures of horses, we see a Morgan mare and a Morgan foal and a Morgan stallion. And below both pictures, it says, as the foal was born and grown and goes into an adult horse, so we are to grow in Christ. The seed of the word is given that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. And here we see in the title, the mare and the foal, and in pictures, there's we see both. And above says, as below the title, bring forth fruit unto God, Romans 7:4. And next to the picture of the horse and her foal, the mare and her foal, we see the life cycle of the horse. First they give birth, then there's the mother and foal, then it becomes a colt, and then both are adult horses. And we see another diagram of the life cycle of a horse. First, a mature adult horse. First, first, the 340 days of gestation in the mother's womb through the fetus or the inside of the horse. Then the foal is born. The mare gives birth to a weaning age, which is 3 to 6 months. Then there's the weanling. The foal is the wean age, ages 3 to 6 months to 1 year. Then the yearling, which is ages 1 to 2. Then the adolescent, which is ages 2 to 3. Then the adult, which is from ages 4 to early teens. and finally senior, which is from 18 to 20. What can we learn from Mother Nature? What experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little one. Here, taken from our Mesopotamian family, is the lesson concerning clouds. It's high above our high cloud. Nature, clouds. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. Job 26:8. What are clouds? There are lots and lots of tiny water droplets or ice crystals that are floating in the air. Water vapor rises from salty oceans or slimy swamps, leaving its impurities behind. It is changed into clouds. Fluffy white clouds moving across the blue sky or a sunset are very beautiful. Some who came to be baptized left their sins behind and became like beautiful fluffy white clouds, while others did not want to give them up. John said to those who would not give up their sins, O generation, Pharisees and Sadducees, of vipers or children of Satan, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. The guilty secrets of their lives were unveiled, as the cloud of their hypocrisy was removed by John's rebuke. The people have been led to have a high opinion of the piety of these. They look upon them admiringly, but these men were like the men described in Proverbs 25:14. Whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. These self-righteous people did not have the rain of repentance within them. Above of the picture we see, it says, high clouds are served, which is the kind of clouds they are, and are made entirely of ice crystals. Next are stratus and stratocumulus clouds. Stratus and stratocumulus clouds are usually seen closer to the earth. Clouds carry rain and snow, which help to water the earth. Clouds can also bring destruction and even death with hail or tornado. Dark clouds hide the sun. There are like trials that come to each of us. When the sun rises higher in the heavens, it melts away the dark clouds, like the love of God. In the east, one low cloud can develop quickly into a raging storm. Even so, one small thing can cause great destruction in a life. How important to have purity of life with every sin confessed and forsaken. Clouds look different from one another. Some are fleecy masses, others look like feathers, while others are dull gray or dark. Many clouds are continually changing shape. They do this because parts of the cloud evaporate or change into vapor when mixed with drier air than the cloud. Clouds also change shape as the wind blows them about. John had multitudes, or many, coming to hear his message of repentance and purity of life. Some were like the clouds that change shape, changing their lives of sin for a life of purity as the Holy Spirit, or wind, like wind, moves upon their hearts. But then there was a special promise in the scriptures. I blot out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. Isaiah 44:22. Now here we get to see the information concerning a dandelion. Dandelion, scientific name is Turkstacum officinale, or Asteraceae. The dandelion is a herbaceous perennial weed that grows from a large taproot and can be 2 to 16 inches, or 5 to 40 centimeters tall, sometimes even taller. It forms a basal rosette of leaves with stems holding single flowers. Their purple-tinged stems exude a milky latex. In flower, each stem has green bracts at the base of a 2-inch or 5-centimeter flower, which is made up of multiple rings of 40 to 100 small yellow cords. These develop into seeds with a silky gray parachute, forming the familiar 2-inch or 5-centimeter bull ball or spherical seed head. The leaf, these are oblong, dark green with a midrib and 2 to 18 inches or 5 to 45 centimeters long with an inch or 2 to 5 centimeters wide. The margins are often bowed or toothed. The edible parts are the flowers, the flower buds, the leaves, and the roots. In its key medicinal uses, it has diuretic properties. How to harvest meat? These are great in salads, preferably pickled young before the plant F flowers. It can also be steamed and used like spinach. They are slightly bitter in taste, so using lemon juice can help. You can use flowers to make tea or fritters. Flower buds can be pickled like capers. Roots can be roasted and used to make baked tea or as a coffee substitute. There's also a recipe for dandelion bread, which sounds pretty tasty. You'll need a handful of dandelion flower heads, 2 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 egg, salt, 1 cup of milk, 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil, half a cup of honey. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Add flour, baking powder, salt, and dandelion into a bowl. Stir lightly. Whisk the oil, egg, milk, and honey. Pour the mixture into the dry ingredients. Stir until incorporated, but not overmixed. Pour batter into a pan. Bake for 15 minutes for a temperature of 350 degrees Fahrenheit and bake for 20 more minutes. Leave to cool before serving. Then there's the information concerning the calf ear or the false dandelion, which is sometimes called. The calf ear, scientific name is Hypocarius ridicata, which is also in the family of the dandelion Asteraceae. The calf ear is an introduced species of perennial herbaceous plant, also known as the false dandelion and flatweed. It can be found in western and eastern USA and Canada in lawns and weedy sites. The flowers, bright yellow dandelion-like flower heads are borne on solid, sometimes forked stems, which have a milky sap. Flowers are 1 to 1.5 inches or 2.5 to 3.5 centimeters in size and become wind-borne seeds with little parachutes. The leaf, like dandelion, its leaves form a basal rosette and a long tap. These can be up to 8 inches or 20 centimeters long, hairy, narrower at the base, becoming wider and deeply lobed. They are green when young and turn yellow with age or drought. The edible parts, all plant parts, leaves and roots are used most. The key medicinal uses may help digestion, blood sugar levels, and maybe detoxifying. How to harvest and eat? A bit bland, leaves and seeds make a nice addition to salads and steamed spring greens. Usually sharp scissors harvest undamaged healthy plants that grow in moist conditions in full sun. Plunge in cold salt water bath to improve flavor. Leaves are not as bitter as dandelion leaves. Roots are best harvested after flowering and can be used as a coffee substitute. Here's the recipe for the cashier coffee. Gather roots and wash well. Chop into small pieces and let dry in the sun for an afternoon or overnight. Roast in a dry cast iron pan over fire for 1 to 4 hours. Pulverize ground or finely chop roasted root pieces. Steep 1 tablespoon of roasted roots in 1 to 2 cups of boiling water. Steep into drinking cup and sweeten as desired. Enjoy as a caffeine-free morning beverage. Warning, the calf's ear may be toxic to horses if consumed in large quantities. Next, there are facts about the red fire ant. But the one our brothers Jeremiah and sister Chrissy found. What ants can lift their 23 times its body weight. There are more than 12,000 species of ants all around the world. Ants don't have ears. They hear through vibration on the ground. And girl ants only have wings, but no guide. What do fire ants look like? The bottom shows a diagram of them. The red and porous fire ants, the female worker. There's the head. There's the nose or the petiole, the abdomen, and the thorax. And it says, isn't it, in the corner right, the top corner right, Proverbs 30:25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And the next on the tile is a picture of a fire ant's nest. And below we see the same picture they took from last week. Next, we have these two pictures of the sun setting, digging from our dear sister Grace. Nature, daily cycles. The sun also arises and the sun goes down, and hastes to his place where he arose. Ecclesiastes 1:5. I'm sure you have noticed how the morning light dawns gently on the earth. If God makes the day so lovely before he gives it to us, do you not think that he should be careful to guard us so that no wrong thought or action of ours should mar the morning hours? The Holy Scriptures speak of the rising of the sun on the east side, Numbers 2:3. Each morning it comes up there to remind us that the sun of righteousness will return to this earth from the east. See Matthew 24:27. The setting sun can also remind us that they must fall who would rise again. Self must be dethroned. Pride must be humbled if we would know the glory of the spiritual kingdom. The Jews would not accept the honor that has reached through humiliation. The desire of Ages, page 57. The spectacular sunsets that the great artist lovingly paints for us are but glimpses of heaven's glory shining through the curtain of the sky. Probably the men on the boat were thankful for each day the sun arose and they were still alive. The day turning into night reminds us that the night cometh when no man can work, John 9:4. The life-giving light leaves the sky each evening to remind us of the darkness of death caused by sin. Then from the pictures of flowers taken by dear sister Charlene, we have info concerning the types. The tulip flowers, they're yellow, lilac, red, pink, and white. The common name tulip, the botanical name Tulipa spp, family either in Liliaceae. The plant type, the perennial bulb, springtime, spring. Mature size, 9 to 24 inches this tall, 6 to 9 inches wide. The flower color, red, pink, orange, yellow, green, purple, black, and white. Native area, Europe, Asia. It's also toxic to people. Tulips are classified into 15 official groups based on shape, size, bloom time, and genetic origin. Tulips should generally be planted in the fall. Cool zone, home gardeners, or zone 3, should be planted as early as September, while those in warmer zones can plant as late as December or zone 10. Research the best month to plant tulips in your region. You can also plant tulips in spring. Okay. Next is from their garden pictures, we see the bugle weed, or the scientific name is a Ajuga Ajuga Septon. The common butte is Ulumbeet, Ajuga, carpet bugle, blue bugle, carpet white, carpenter's herb. The plant type is herbaceous perennial. The mature size 6 to 12 inches tall or 6 to 12 inches wide. Next is the, if we have more info about it, bugle weed, the Ajuga repton, is a fast growing herbaceous perennial ground cover plant that does a good job of choking out weeds. This plant performs best in full sun to partial shade and prefers moisty soil. It spreads via runners that take root to form new plants, which enables it to quickly overrun its planting area. In fact, the species became reptans, meaning creeping. Bugleweed spreads quite aggressively, so plant it where it won't creep into other areas of your garden or lawn. Information taken from www.thespruce.com/ajuga or bugleweed plant 2132213. And then, pearl bush facts. The scientific name is Exultorta racemosa. And the height is 10 to 15 feet or 3 to 4.6 meters and spread 10 to 15 feet or 3 to 4.6 meters sun exposure, full sun to part shade. The soil requirements prefers acidic, well draining, fertile loam, hardiness zones, USDA 4 to 8. When to plant in fall for spring bloom. Next is the rhododendron flower tree. The common name is rhododendron, the botanical name rhododendron spp. Family Ericaceae. Plant type shrub, mature size 2 to 20 feet tall, or 3 to 15 feet wide, bloom time, spring, summer, and fall, and flower colors red, pink, orange, yellow, purple, and white. The rhododendron is a genus of more than 1,000 deciduous or evergreen flower and shrub species with more than 25,000 cultivars and hybrids. They come in a wide range of sizes, flower colors, and shapes. May are North American natives. Then there's the orange daffodil. A common name is Daffodil narcissus, the botanical name Narcissus spp. Then the family is Amaryllidaceae. And the plant type is bulb perennial, mature size 6 to 30 inches tall or 6 to 12 inches wide. Flower color, yellow, white, orange, pink, in native area, Europe, Africa. And this flower is both toxic to both humans and pets, only when eaten, that is. So, there's nothing wrong with smelling it. Anyway, there are more than 40 Narcissus species and over 32,000 registered cultivars. Breeders have classified daffodils into 13 different divisions, with many, many cultivars within each division based on the form of the flower. All divisions may include cultivars described as miniature. These have the same features as their full-size counterparts, but have smaller blooms, usually less than 2 inches in diameter. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammoth of the Bible Review, taken from our new study book, Christ Object Lesson, Chapter 2, The Soil Went Forth to Sow, Part 7, Aged Ground. So, the sower is not always to meet with disappointment of a seed that fell into good ground. The Savior said, "This is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bring forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it yet, and bring forth fruit with patience. The honest and good heart, with which the parable speaks, is not a heart without sin, for the gospel is to be preached to the lost. Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Mark 2:17. He has an honest heart who yields to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He confesses his guilt and feels his need of the mercy and love of God. He has a sincere desire to know the truth, that he may obey it. The good heart is a believing heart, one that has faith in the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to receive the word. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Continuing, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. The Pharisees of Christ's day closed their eyes lest they should see, and their ears lest they should hear. Therefore the truth cannot reach their hearts. They were to suffer retribution for their willful ignorance, self-imposed blindness. But Christ taught his disciples that they were to open their minds to instruction and be ready to believe. He pronounced a blessing upon them because they saw and heard with eyes and ears that believe. Christ's object lesson, page 59, paragraph 1. The good ground here receives the word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Only he who receives the scriptures as the voice of God speaking to himself is a true learner. He trembles at the word, for to him it is a living reality. He opens his understanding and his heart to receive it. Such hearers were Cornelius and his friend, who said to the apostle Peter, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Acts 10:33, Christ's object lesson, page 59, paragraph 2. A knowledge of the truth depends not so much upon strength of intellect as upon pureness of purpose, the simplicity of an earnest dependent faith. To those whom humility of heart seek for divine guidance, angels of God draw near. The Holy Spirit is given to open to them the rich treasures of the truth. Christ's subject lesson, page 59, paragraph 3. The good ground hearers, having heard the word, keep it. Satan, with all his agencies of evil, is not able to catch it away. Christ's object lesson, page 59, paragraph 4. Our three bonus questions are in review. You can find the answers in both the study book or in the Bible. So question one is, finally, where did some seed fall? The answer is in Matthew 13:8. Two, explain Matthew 13:8. You can find the explanation in Matthew 13:23. And final question three, what is the fruit? Read Galatians 5:22-23. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And welcome to all the precious family that I have joined. And remember, little ones, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, Fishers of Men. You can find it in number 500. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. If you follow me.
Hear Christ calling, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to ask the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our family meeting review with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. We feel God for us after this morning. If you protect us, please protect me. Please protect me. And in the Sabbath that we're going to be learning about you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. Our opening scripture for a review lesson is taken from our study book entitled The Desire of Ages, but this is in volume 1 of the memory verse CD. From the scripture, 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, King James Version.
As you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, and without spot as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we receive all the answer to the questions that we have preserved? We're going to take a few minutes to reread part one of our lesson by the sea once more, part five, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
John lived to be very aged. He witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem and the ruin of the stately temple, a symbol of the final ruin of the world. To the latest days, John closely followed his Lord. The burden of his testimony to the churches was, "Behold, no, beloved, let us love one another. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." 1 John 4:7-16. Desire of Ages 8:16, paragraph 4.
Desire of Ages, page 8:17, continuing. Peter had been restored to his apostleship, but the honor and authority he received from Christ had not given him supremacy over his brethren. This Christ had made plain when in answer to Peter's question, "What shall this man said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Peter was not honored as the head of the church. Next slide, please. Continuing, the favor which Christ had shown him in forgiving his apostasy and entrusting him with the feeding of the flock and Peter's own faithfulness in following Christ won for him the confidence of his brethren. He had much influence in the church, but the lesson which Christ had taught him by the Sea of Galilee, Peter carried with him throughout his life. Writing by the Holy Spirit to the churches, he said, Desire of Ages, I'll bubble down.
Continuing. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Next slide, please. Continuing, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 5:1-4. Desire of Ages, page 817, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We ended our chapter 84 with this reflection, taken from a spirit of prophecy book entitled Gospel Workers. This is in chapter 6. The title of the 6th chapter is The Under Shepherd, pages 183, paragraph 4, through 184, paragraph 2. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The sheep that has strayed from the fold is the most helpless of all creatures. It must be sought for it cannot find its way back. So with the soul that has wandered away from God, he is as helpless as the lost sheep. And unless divine love comes to his rescue, he can never find his way to God. Then with what compassion, what sorrow, what persistence, should the under-shepherd seek for lost souls? How willingly should he endure self-denial, hardship, privation? Gospel Workers, page 183, paragraph 4.
Continuing. There is need of shepherds who, under the direction of the chief shepherd, will seek for the lost and straying. This means the bearing of physical discomfort and the sacrifice of ease. It means a tender solicitude for the erring, a divine compassion and forbearance. It means an ear that can listen with sympathy to heartbreaking recitals of wrong, of degradation, of despair and misery. Gospel Workers, page 184, paragraph 1.
The spirit of the true shepherd is one of self-forgetfulness. He loses sight of self in order that he may work the works of God. By the preaching of the word and by personal ministry in the homes of the people, he learns their needs, their sorrows, their trials, and cooperating with the great burden bearer, he shares their afflictions, comforts their distresses, relieves their soul hunger, and wins their hearts to God. In this work, the minister is attended by heavenly angels, and he himself is instructed and enlightened in the truth that maketh wise unto salvation. Gospel Worker, page 184, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. So what have we learned in ways we have grown before we get the chance to hear all the answer to the question? Let's consider our verse for the review answer, taken from 1 Peter 3:15. It's a memory verse. So, be sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For those that are not able to see the screen and you are in devices to listen, we are going to reread the 6th question we held from first part of our project. And if you are moved to be able to share to edify the little ones, their parents and guests, to the glory of God, may you do so by opening the mic. Number 1 is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? Number 6, what did you learn from these lessons? If you have the ability to type it in the room, dear ones, who would like to take number 1?
Number 1, who is the main character or characters? We see here it's Peter, John, and Jesus. Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? In this section of our story, we see the restoration of Peter, as well as the mission of John, and also of Peter.
I think that number 3, the story took place down by the sea while they were talking to Jesus, and Peter was asking Jesus questions about John's part.
I believe this story begins once Christ was risen, and this is when, this is the part where he meets up with the disciples at the seaside.
How could you relate to the story, number 5? Sometimes as people, as Christians, we find ourselves trying to do the right thing at all times, but sometimes we fall short of the glory of God and we sin. We transgress the law and transgress against Jesus, and we think that we have done so wrong that we cannot be forgiven. But here we see how merciful, how loving, how forgiving our Lord was, and he restored Peter. And we can relate, I can relate by feeling that the Lord, there's nothing too grand for the Lord to restore for me when I fall short. And I thank God for that, and that's how I'm able to relate to the story.
As I look at the end of this, the 3 ending slides in the story, it's very powerful in that there is a preparation for some of us that, or for most of us that is on this path, Christian path, and in the work of the Lord. And it's only the Lord that can prepare us for to do this work and to be humble in our hearts and our spirit and to show us the right things to do and to say, and what it takes to be a lover of the soul and to be in union or in co-workership with the Lord in seeking and saving the lost. It is a great transformation, and also a great work that needs to be done on the human heart, and only Christ can do that. And that's what I learned.
Amen. Praise the Lord. On this particular chapter of this lesson in our study book, it was so beautiful to see how even the mishap that a lot of the disciple may have, especially on the characters that was being mentioned, the Lord used those same things to be able to bring them to recognize certain things that they didn't know themselves. So all of those things that everyone go through are instruments to be able to draw closer. If these things would have never happened, we would have never known what to give to God. So we are so grateful that as our parents, just like we, as parents, as we try to raise our children, sometimes certain things have to be learned that they have to experience for themselves so they can see the dire of what it really is. And sometimes you have to give warning before they are even able to step into it. Our parenting doesn't have a book here, but we do have a perfect example of what God has done for us. And especially Jesus coming in man's form was able to show us that the true pattern of how to be able to parent children or even in any situation in our life, we have a perfect example. And the Lord is so merciful because he knows us. He knows that we are lacking direction, instruction. And praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit that can be able to not only bring us to the knowledge of what Christ is trying to say, but even bring about circumstances in our lives that we can be able to see it in the eyes of God and not our own eyes. That's what I have learned through this chapter 84. And I'm still learning to be able to see that it is not in our time. It is actually in the time of God. Sometimes we need to have growth spiritually and circumstances to be able to happen in order for us to see better. This is what I would like to share. If there are anyone else, may you unmute your mic. If not, we are going to continue, dear ones. And thank you so much for all the participation. We have thoughts and also poem and special music. The thought is taken from a spiritual prophecy book entitled Maranatha, chapter 113, entitled The Youth, God's Instrument. And we have a small reflection, and the reflection is entitled The Soul Went Forth to Sow, which is one of our study from the earlier part of the project. The opening scripture is taken from Lamentation 3:27, King James Version, and it reads, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
God calls young men in the vigor and strength of their youth to share with him self-denial, sacrifice, and suffering. If they accept the call, he will make them his instruments to save souls for whom he died. But he would have them count the cost and enter upon their work with a full knowledge of the conditions upon which they serve a crucified Redeemer. Maranatha, page 121, paragraph 2.
Our first work should be to bring our own hearts into harmony with God, and then we are prepared to labor for others. In former days, there were great searching for heart among our earnest workers. They concealed together and united in humble, fervent prayer for divine guidance. Christ's coming is nearer than when we believe. Every passing day leaves us one less to proclaim the message of warning to the world. Maranatha, page 121, paragraph 3.
We have a grand work to do for the Master, to open the Word of God to those who are in darkness of error. Young friends, act as though you have a sacred charge. You should be Bible students, ever ready to give to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. By your true Christian dignity, give evidence that you know you have a truth that it is for the interest of the people to hear.
If this truth is inwrought in the soul, it will manifest itself in the countenance and demeanor in a calm, noble self-possession and peace which the Christian alone can possess. Those who have genuine humility and whose minds have been expanded by the truths unfolded in the gospel will have an influence that will be felt. They will make an impression upon minds and hearts. Maranatha, page 121, paragraph 4.
I have no higher wish than to see our youth imbued with the spirit of pure religion, which will lead them to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Go forth, young disciples of Christ, controlled by principle, clad in the robes of purity and righteousness. Your Savior will guide you into the position best suited to your talent and where you can be most useful. In the path of duty, you may be sure of receiving grace sufficient for your day. Maranatha, page 121, paragraph 5.
It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And he brings forth fruit with patience. None who receive God's word are exempt from difficulty and trial. But when affliction comes, the true Christian does not become restless, distrustful, or despondent. Though we cannot see the definite outcome of affairs or discern the purpose of God's providences, we are not to cast away our confidence, period. Remembering the tender mercies of the Lord, we should cast our care upon him and with patience wait for his salvation. Christ Object Lessons, page 60, paragraph 4.
Through conflict, the spiritual life is strengthened. Trials well borne will develop steadfastness of character and precious spiritual graces. The spirit fruit of faith, meekness, and love often matures best amidst storm, clouds, and darkness. Christ Object Lesson 61:1.
The husbandman waited for the precious fruit, the earth, and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain, James 5:7. So the Christian is to wait with patience for the fruition in his life and the word of God. Often when we pray for the graces of the Spirit, God works to answer our prayers by placing us in circumstances to develop these fruits. But we do not understand his purpose and wonder and are dismayed. Yet, none can develop those graces except through the process of growth and fruit bearing. Our part is to receive God's word and to hold it fast, yielding ourselves fully to its control, and its purpose in us will be accomplished. Christ Object Lesson, page 61, paragraph 2.
If a man love me, Christ said, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John chapter 14, verse 23. This is taken from our youth lesson book, Christ Object Lessons, chapter 2. The sower went forth to sow. Page 60, 61.4, paragraph 4 through page 61.1, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise God. Our poem is entitled Growth. This is taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 2, Lesson 6, on page 136, from Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take one of the five dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number one, brother, has thy heart been longing that some trial be withdrawn, almost doubting that the storm cloud is preceding his sweet dawn? Ah, the Spirit heard thy cry, yet his love grace no apply, gave no reply.
At the pruning knife thou art looking, at the wounds,
at the pruning knife,
and then the scare,
at the wounds, the scar. I'm sorry,
Brother Joel. Dear sister.
It's okay.
Was reading? Okay.
Yes.
No problem. You could take the number three when she's finished. Cool. You can start the reading, dear sister.
Your mic is off.
Sorry about that. We'll try again. At the pruning knife, thou art looking at the wounds and then the scare. At thy heart growth, he is looking, which less trial would but mar. And was just his love that gave added purging life to share. Save.
Art thou bearing some rich fruitage, thou wilt know the pruner's knife. For a husbandman best knoweth how to bring us his full life, and his touch that seals our truth lies the secret of our growth.
Amen. I apologize, dear Sister Joan. I had a little computer lag over here. I didn't hear anyone saying anything. Number four. Once thou have his richest favors in the fruit thy life shall bear, thou must give his sole selection of the way to make them fair. Once thou have the sweetest bloom, give the Spirit thy heart's room.
Joel, you may not have heard me because I wasn't speaking into the speaker, and I apologize for that. So don't worry. Everything's okay.
We got one more. Who would like to take number five, dear ones?
That which seemeth but destroying is a blessing and attainment. Or as alchemy makes trial for some hidden joy to stand. When we see the garnered fruit, praise will fill the lips once mute.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. And we have special music, and it's a hymn song by our dear Brother Joel, entitled I Will Sing of Jesus' Love. And praise God, we have it in recording.
I will sing of Jesus' love, sing of him who first loved me, for he left bright worlds above and died on Calvary. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise my heart shall give. He has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Oh, the depths of love divine, earth or heaven can never know. how that sins as dark as mine can be made as white as snow. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall give, he has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Nothing good for him I've done. How could he such love bestow? Lord, I own my heart is one. Help me now my love to show. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall give, he has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me.
Sorry, dear one, my computer was going a little bit fast. If you have any testimony that you would like to share, we have in between the services or later on the services, dear one. So next week, we will begin a new chapter of a lesson book, and it's entitled Go Teach All Nations in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to close our family review meeting with prayer, dear one? May you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you once more for bringing us this Sabbath day to worship you. Thank you for this blessed Sabbath day, for the rest that you give, and all the spiritual blessings that you give to us on this day. We thank you, Lord, for all the participations of the little ones and the mommies and all the others that participated. We thank you for the rich blessings of the lessons, Father Jesus, and to know that that you are the great teacher of us all, and that we can come with assurance to you and with humble hearts, and that you will teach us, Father Jesus, in the things that we must do. Be with us for the rest of this day. Continue to bless us. Be with the speaker, Father. Continue to pour down special blessings to him, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, I pray. In no other name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to begin chapter 86, Go Teach All Nations, and that will be held May 24, 2025, and that will be our lesson 435. And this is going to be the last time that we are going to have this following quote and also the scripture. The scripture is taken from 1 John 3:5, King James Version, and it reads, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." And the quotation is taken from Maranatha, page 78, paragraph 4. "By his perfect obedience, he has made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged in his will, and the mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. Then as the Lord looks upon us, he sees not the fig leaf garment, nor the nakedness and deformity of sin, but his own robe of righteousness, which is perfect, obedient, to the law of Jehovah." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.